Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Well, and in a sport filled with unsung heroes, today's guest is extremely deserving of being called an unsung hero. It was late last year when retired Racehorse Project Executive Director Jen Royds announced that she would step down after serving that position for 4 years, and prior to that, she was a board member with that organization for 5 years. She is dearly missed, I know that, and she is somebody who has done yeoman's work behind the scenes, and she is with me now as this week's unsung hero. Jen, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you so much. What an honor.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, you and I have known each other for many, many years, and you have always been somebody who has dedicated herself to the sport, not always in the limelight, which is what this segment is all about, but somebody who has worked so hard and tirelessly behind the scenes to help the industry. So on behalf of the industry, thank you very much for all your work and all your efforts.
Oh, I really appreciate it. I think there's so many people who have done so much more than me, but it's just the sport. I mean, like I'm sure you feel and everyone else who's listening this morning, you love the sport so much and you love the horses and the people and, you know, you just kind of do your part to make it as good as it can be.
For people that are listening and don't know, maybe they've never heard of the Retired Racehorse Project, let's start there. Tell me a little bit more about the organization and then about the work that you did as the executive director.
Oh, sure. Well, it's a mission that's very close to my heart. The Retired Racehorse Project, or it's known kind of in the sport horse industry and some parts of the racing industry is the RRP. it's an organization that exists to create demand for thoroughbreds after racing. So to really elevate them as sport horses in the equestrian world and help to, you know, prepare equestrians and instill the skills and education needed to successfully transition them from a racehorse to a sport horse. So the organization is best known for putting on the Thoroughbred Makeover, which is a competition for horses in their first year of retraining after racing. And it's worth about $135,000 in prize money now. So it's like a graded stakes event for off-track thoroughbreds, which is super cool. It's a great way for them to launch their sport horse career. And then in addition to that, the organization publishes a magazine 4 times a year focusing on thoroughbreds and sport. It's kind of like the blood horse of the off-track thoroughbred world. We also do clinics around the country teaching people how to retrain an off-track thoroughbred because it's a little bit different to teach an animal something when it's already been taught to do it a different way rather than starting from scratch. So we go around the country teaching people how to do that and partnering with top-level trainers from different areas of equestrian sports, Olympians, and internationally competitive riders. And then we also do tons of educational initiatives and content, webinars and seminars and all that good stuff. So it's all aimed at kind of bringing the cool back to thoroughbreds in the sport horse world and also making sure that equestrians can easily find success with them. They have the skills and the knowledge to do so.
In a typical year, Jen, how many thoroughbreds would come off the racetrack and be part of the Retired Racehorse Project?
So in a typical year, the thoroughbred makeover usually has, you know, I'd say about 750 or so horses training toward the event.
Wow.
As we all know, not every horse makes the goal that they are being trained toward. You see that in the Derby and Breeders' Cup every year. So some of those horses, whether it's due to, you know, it just needs to be on a different timeline or a physical ailment or maybe mental challenges that, you know, it's just not going to be ready for such a big environment because that event is held at a world-class competition venue. So it's a lot of environment for them to take in. So I'd say probably 50 to 60% of those horses who start training for that competition make it to that specific competition. But the preparation they get in that first year of retraining serves them well for whatever they go on and do off of the track. You know, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program and the Take Two Program have fantastic shows throughout the year all over the country for Thoroughbreds at any stage of their training and incentives and awards and that kind of thing. And then outside of the horses that are specifically training toward the makeover, you know, there's probably, you know, there was a study done in Australia looking at when horses exit the racing industry, what their next career path is. And if you apply those statistics to American racing, you could estimate about, you know, 11 to 12,000 horses come off the track every year to non-breeding careers. You know, like you can assume a certain percentage are going to be broodmares and a handful will be stallions, but, you know, 10 to 11,000 are going to off-track careers. So we work really hard to do a lot of content and work toward getting a lot of people invested in taking on the challenge of retraining a thoroughbred. There's so many good aftercare organizations, nonprofit aftercare organizations throughout the country. And then there's a huge subset of the equestrian population that take on thoroughbreds for retraining and selling as part of their business model. And it kind of takes both to make the cycle work. So we work really hard, you know, to support both of those efforts.
You pointed out the fact that not every horse will make it to that thoroughbred makeover event. They'll start training that direction. Some do, some don't. Every horse is different. How long does it take? And again, I'm sure every horse is different, but how long does it take to retrain a thoroughbred that leaves the racetrack and get them ready for this second career, if you will?
You know, I think every horse is different, just like it takes different amounts of time to get a horse from being started under saddle to their first race, to their first, hopefully, stakes race and whatnot. For off-track thoroughbreds, I think that first year is really, really important. It sets the tone for everything else they're going to do in their career. You instill manners and the foundation of riding off the track and kind of retooling what they've learned on the track. It, you know, to be done in a different way for the equestrian world, like lead changes. They do lead changes on the track all the time, but the jockeys are sitting so high, perched above their back. The cues are so much different. And so teaching them how to do that off the track, they're not going so fast and forward. So you're having to teach them the more subtle, like leg cues and cues from your hands and your seat. So they can do those lead changes from behind instead of flying into them going so forwardly paced. And it's like that with everything else, you know, slowing their pace, quickening their pace, doing turns. You know, they're asked to do a lot more bending and whatnot. So that first year of retraining, is really key in, you know, getting them on that path. And then for the thoroughbred makeover, they all have 10 months to train for that competition. That's kind of the great equalizer. You've got everything from like really savvy, skilled teenagers to Olympic competitors all retraining thoroughbreds on that 10-month timeline. But then they, you know, that's only a good first year goal. It's not like the end-all be-all for any horse. So they can go on from that and kind of incrementally go up the levels of whatever discipline they're competing in to become, you know, everything from the perfect bomb-proof kids horse or lesson horse to, you know, someone's heart horse, forever horse that they're going to do anything and everything with, to upper level competitors and anything from barrel racing to eventing to jumping or hunters, anything like that.
Well, visiting with this week's unsung hero, that is Jen Reutz. She spent the past 4 years as the executive director of the Retired Racehorse Project, and she stepped down late last year from that role. But as you can hear, her passion for the horse and for the sport has not waned one ounce. Jen, you started by mentioning the fact that this was something that was very near and dear to your heart, and it meant a lot to you to be part of it and to help grow and develop that program. How come? Why was this something? Why has this always been something that's been such a passion of yours?
That's a really great question. I'm always so interested to hear people's answers about that. Mine is probably typical to many people. I grew up riding and loving horses. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, so the closest track was Thistledown, and I learned to love horse racing from going there and from watching it on TV, and came to Kentucky to go to college and paid for college galloping in the mornings, and then got a job working in thoroughbred racing and marketing. And so I feel like I've been lucky enough to build a career and a life on the backs of these horses or on the end of a shank. And I like my equestrian background really allows me to appreciate not only the racing side, but the side of them that exists long after racing. You know, a lot of times they retire by the age of five or so, because that's, you know, usually when you know if that horse is going to be something or if it's time to move them on to a second career. And they've got so much more left to do. They can be doing whatever they do after racing into their 20s very easily. So to me, that's such a big part of what they're bred to do. They're bred to be elite equine athletes. And, you know, I love celebrating that both on the track and off the track. So it was a tough decision to leave the RRP as executive director, because I love that organization and its mission so much. I'm excited to support it, you know, in the years to come in different ways. But between my husband and I have a thoroughbred farm where we breed and race and sell, and we also do a lot of off-track retraining for clients and for ourselves. And I also still work in marketing quite a bit and have a marketing agency here in Lexington that I'm a partner in. And so I wanted to make sure that organization didn't stagnate as I was getting busier and busier. So this will allow, you know, getting another full-time executive director in there will allow them to keep moving forward and growing, because that it's amazing what a good idea can snowball into. And that kind of an organization, like a lot of the ones we see in the industry, the only barrier to growth is funding. You know, like a lot of nonprofits have such good ideas behind them, and the only thing stopping them is being able to afford to expand.
What are some of your personal favorite success stories that you got to either be part of or that you got to witness when you were with the Retired Racehorse Project?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, the makeover was so cool every year, because you'd see, not only would you see all of these incredible transformations of horses going from being a racehorse, you know, 10 months or less prior, and now they're like going very nicely in a horse show environment, whether they're jumping or playing polo or navigating trails or what. And it was always really neat to see the horses' connections come out and support them. Like we, this past year, one of the things that just stopped me in my tracks and just like made my heart smile was there's a guy who came out to the makeover who had looked at our list of entries. It was published, you know, in a couple of publications, looked at the list of entries and saw the horse that he won the biggest bet of his life on and basically paid for the first year of college with.
Wow.
And so he came out specifically to see that horse. And it wasn't a stakes winner. It wasn't, you know, it was just like a blue collar working man's horse. And so he went and watched it compete, and then, you know, ended up meeting the people after, and they were so touched by the story. They, you know, handed him the shank and they said, why don't you get to know him and go cool him out? And so he'd never seen the horse in person, but that horse changed his life, you know? And so it was really neat to see him come out and track that horse down. And we always end up getting stories like that, where people come out to the makeover to see horses that mean something to them, whether they owned them or they're fans of them or anything else. And another thing, Sorry, I have a dog that's also trying to tell about their favorite makeover story.
Wants to tell their story. Is it a boy or a girl dog, Jen?
It is a boy. We just adopted a Great Dane whose owner passed away, and he is super chatty.
Man, we'll put him on the air with us. What's his name?
His name is Shep.
There you go, Shep. I love it.
I think the other thing I'd probably put in that category is just getting to see these masterclass clinics that the RRP does, and they show the process of starting to retrain an off-track thoroughbred. They take horses that have just recently raced, and they take, you know, riders like Philip Dutton, who's competed in the Olympics, and they showcase his first ride on that horse. Or you have a Buck Davidson, who's also internationally competitive, and he will be teaching four or five people who are on freshly retired racehorses. And you just get to see these transformations of racehorse to the beginning of a sport horse, even in that first session. So stuff like that, I think, is really cool. And it's so educational for all of us who know them as racehorses to see different ways of doing right by them.
Well, Jen, listen, I can't thank you enough for spending some time on this week's edition of Unsung Heroes. You are a true unsung hero in the sport. Your passion and your enthusiasm are infectious. And I'm so glad that our paths crossed years ago, because it's been a delight to know you all these years. And you're very deserving of this particular honor here this morning. So thanks for taking some time, and congratulations.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thanks for always supporting so many people's nonprofit or, you know, like personal endeavors in the industry. It's really meaningful.
All the best with the new chapter of your life, Jen.
Thank you so much.